Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Figuring it out.
Oh, okay, you're doing it ahead of time.
I might be the winner.
I'm
Boss, you're beaming. The first time ever.
Boss.
Mariana Voss. Yeah, I just said we, even though Mariana Voss is not French. No, look like it.
I picked her twice. You guys made fun of me.
Before we begin, everybody, let's take a moment to mention that we are in the midst of the greatest summer ever. That is right. Pack Filler Gooder summer promotion fully underway. We have a limited number of special codes. You guys have probably heard this one before. Jack has become Karsten. That's right. Using the one-time code of PackFiller15, you, the friends of the PackFiller, can receive a 15% discount on what is already the most affordable, highest quality eyewear on the market. Get to PackFiller.com, click the link to Gooder, and be sure to use the code for your one-time discount for the PackFiller Gooder summer. Also, hey, you know what? Let's throw out another sponsor mention, shall we? How about Athletic Brewing? I just looked that I'm wearing my Athletic Brewing shirt tonight. So non-alcoholic craft beer revolution is fully underway. Remember that Athletic, however, was the first to master the art. All flavors, all styles, rotating offerings, and even delivered straight to your door. Be sure and click the link on packfiller.com today. Jackson has no headphones. Are they not working?
No,
nothing's fucking working.
I think I can hear it come from there.
Hearing what?
From the speakers?
I think so.
Jack, are you on a delay? Are you listening to the show
live? No, I had to run for a beer.
Oh, wait. I think it might be this.
Oh, this the computer's running.
There we go.
Hey, everybody. This is the wonderful part of doing a live podcast. In case you're wondering, I don't fucking edit anything because I want you guys to see what it's like to just hear a bunch of idiots talking on microphones. So Athletic Brewing, rotating offerings, even delivering straight to your door. I'd shit you not. Be sure and click the link at packfiller.com and get caught up with the non-alcohol movement. So let's get to the show, shall we, after all the clusterfuck has gone down. But it's fun. Yeah. I have something I want to say, but I can't because the computer's so loud. Because we have Jack on the computer at the same time. So the theme is like cranked. And he's probably bleeding through his ears right now. His ear holes. I almost said ear bulbs. And then I said ear bulbs. Well, now we can have tour withdrawal, right?
Yeah,
we can officially have tour withdrawal. So what a month it has been. Welcome to your group chat for cycling addiction. I do not mean to belittle addiction. Welcome to the Pack Filler Podcast. I have to say these kind of things whenever I bring up any kind of a slight joke anymore because somebody's going to at me and be pissed off. We are live on Facebook, Vimeo, something like that. And YouTube, come play along on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific. That's where you get to hear us. I should honestly hit live before we even go on, and just the people who listen live can hear us bantering about Paul's horrible luck with automobiles and shits like that. I'm first of all, thanks for being here. And
yeah.
You can scream fuck at the top of your lungs at any given point in time. Well, who's here? Let's see. We always like to throw a random question posted to you by our friends at the show. By the way, if you want to send more questions, feel free to post them on social media or email me at patrick@packfiller.com. Gentlemen, when I introduced you, please respond with a cycling-based decision you made in your life that you now or even immediately when it happened regret. Like, oh, fuck, why did I do this? For example, Jackson's could have been passing that one car on the inside when it was clearly not signaling. But so first off, he's the fastest grandpa I know, Mr. Paul Maine. How are you, man? Seriously, fucking, how are you? Do you want to say that, or do you not want to?
Yeah, I went to pick up my grandson's birthday bike.
Brand new bike.
Oh. Went down to Bike Hub, which is downtown. Loaded it up. Get in my car, and I'm like, wow, my mirror has been pushed in, and I just popped it back out. I'm thinking, did I do that? Huh. Drive home, dump the bike off, and then made dinner, that type of thing. Get in the car to come to the show, and I looked, and I'm like, what the fuck? We just got it repaired like 2 weeks ago because another hit and run hit on the other side. So... And then it's been just over a year, not quite a year, since my baby got squished by a car.
Yeah.
I mean, by a tree.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There you go.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, well. You know what? It's just a car. It's just a car.
Do you want to play along with the regret story?
Yeah.
Or do you just want to sit in the corner?
I was sitting there trying to think about it.
We have the therapy couch. You can just sit there and just kind of ball up and let it happen.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. A regret I do have, and that is I purchased these Mavic tubulars, and with the thought and hope and the research that I did that they're supposed to be really good in all conditions.
Sure.
And they had a great advertisement of this guy on a skid pad and just laying it down, see how low they can get it, and had water on it. I'm thinking, oh, that's awesome.
They're tubulars.
That's my race. Yeah, tubulars. Yeah. And we had a race out at, it was a crit, and I was up in the points in the series, and I went to chase this break that went up because one of the guys that's just ahead of me in the point system went. And I hit this corner and greased out and went down hard. I had brand new skin suit too. Just shredded it. Got back up and I thought, well, no big deal. I'll just get it going and I'll take a free lap.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my chain had just wrapped around my pedal. I couldn't even get it untangled. And then they came by on the next lap. So now I can't get my free lap. So then I thought, all I'm going to do is TT. Mm-hmm. To the finish. And it had been pissing rain. It was like pissing rain like you wouldn't believe. And then, I know this is a long one.
Hence the new tires. I mean, you were like,
I won't go away from continental competitions. That's it, man. That's the only thing that grips. But anyway, I'm coming around and there's only a couple laps and my goal was to stay and not get lapped again. So I was just going as hard as I could, and it started raining again, and I hit a painted line and went down again, and I crashed twice. So my biggest regret is Mavic tubulars.
This segment brought to you by Maxxis Tires.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Second here of all here, he's the fastest son I have, Jackson Boulder. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yeah? Thanks for the compliment.
You are my fastest son.
Yeah, and hopefully the only that we know of.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say that because that is such a cheesy dad thing. Only one under. I'm so happy my wife actually stays with me. I would be a very lonely man.
Yeah, it got real.
exactly. Wait, fuck, where am I? Yeah, this isn't therapy.
My regret, I was going to say...
I took it?
I was going to say about 2 weeks ago, heading out on Sunday. No. but I think probably my biggest regret was about, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, this was when I still had my Trek for my road bike. I was like, I bought white handlebar tape because my saddle was white. And so I was like, oh, you got to match, you know? Yeah. And then I decided at like 12 a.m. I might as well start putting my handlebar tape on right now.
Yeah.
And then you woke up the next morning and somehow the drops had unraveled.
The bar?
Overnight.
Really?
Yeah. Which is, that's the part you wouldn't expect to unravel, right?
Yeah.
But no, that was.
Especially, you know, with the adhesive back, once it's down, it's down.
Yeah, no. So that was a regret. Okay. That sucked.
You know something? I rewrapped my bars today, and I actually I wrapped them three different times on one side because I kept finding minor flaws in the tape in how I wrapped it, and I wasn't happy with it. And I was like, nobody's going to see it, but I'm going to know it's there. So I kept rewrapping.
Well, ever since that happened,
and I used double-sided tape on the last one because I knew rewrapping constantly is going to create this lack of adhesion in the bars. So I was, fuck.
Ever since that happened, I have used my bar tape.
I'm an anal retentive about tape. Even though I'm not very good at the top, at the very tip, you know, at the finishing tape. I'm never really good. I don't clip the tape very well and all that shit, but... Hey, a third. He is the fastest runner on the Pack Filler podcast. Yeah. We can clearly say that. Jack Broadhead from Vancouver, right? You still in Vancouver?
Yep.
How's it going, man?
Great.
Yeah.
I'm taking a break from. Well, actually, we went to happy hour in Lowe's.
I happy hour at Lowe's
after the podcast. Paint all night.
Oh shit! Really?
Yeah. Sad.
You know what, painting's therapeutic, but I wouldn't be able to do it all night. Are you under under a super tight deadline for this house?
No, just methamphetamine.
Oh, I do that too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how do you
I only do it for crits.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, we do need to be done before October, but
shit.
No, just I've got cabinets coming, and I got to set some floors. And before I set some floors, I need to paint some walls, and it's just time to roll.
All right. I'd love to ask you if there's something in life that you regret, and I think I should have asked you this question tomorrow.
My first two marriages.
Oh, my God. No, something in cycling that you either regret or immediately regret it.
Oh, yeah. I've been so I've got a whole list.
How much time you got?
You can't reuse the booties in the state championship program.
That is one of them. I was typing Pat my chat. Quitting in 1992, quitting in 1998, not getting discs and 12-speed electronic earlier. taking off my booties in 1990 state road race championship. That is there. Trying to shoot the gap in the 1989 Sandpoint crit and crashing. Stitches in my butt.
You did piss yourself one time on purpose.
I don't regret that.
You got warm.
Yeah.
That'll happen again. I guarantee it.
Oh my God.
I mean, I've beat myself several times in marathons. I mean, like three times in one marathon. So I'm okay with pissing myself.
What size is your bladder? Was it like 16 ounce or something?
Yeah.
I'm very hydrated.
Yeah.
And I have I had a sticker made, and I'll have to like dig it out, but it's like proper hydration. God dang it. It's like proper hydration equals, I don't know, something about this.
Great.
I'll dig it up.
Great story, man. Great story. We're still in the introductions. Me, I'm the fastest person speaking on the podcast right now. Right now, just right now. I'm Pat Bulger, and my decision I regretted was I'm kind of with Jack. I have many of them, but one of mine was the day I decided to race my bike in a Tuesday night crit the day after I had my wisdom teeth pulled. And I remember showing up, and I was still a little numb in my and
might have been the Vicodin.
Yeah, and I had the cheeks sticking out, and I remember pulling up to the line. And I spat on the start line, and it had blood in it. And I just looked at other people and I was like, let's go, fuckers.
Yeah.
That's crazy shit right there.
And I made it maybe a lap and a half in that crit. I just got shelled immediately. The other one was probably doing a watching, and I think I've told you guys this, Pink Floyd's The Wall right before I went and raced a crit, because that is... What's that?
No acid. He was on acid.
No, I wasn't on acid. But I was really fucking depressed after it. So.
Oh, yeah. You've said that before.
Yeah, it was not. It
before
was not.
Volunteer Park.
No, it wasn't. It was in Kirkland somewhere.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah, Jack. It's my story.
You mentioned this on the podcast before, though.
Yeah, I have. And I was there. Don't be my father and try to steal my stories. I've sat at the table across from my father while he's telling a story, and I'm like, going, fucking wasn't you, Dan. It was me.
Watch anyway. Out. One day when you say you were hit by a car, I'll let you know that was mine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Dad. That was me. Oh, my God. What a week. What a month we've had. Before we get to the racing highlights, I do want to cover all the obviously wonderful racing highlights we've had. But I want to ask you guys a couple personal questions. It's kind of jumping the topic ahead of the news here. The rest of the summer, I'm a little sad, you guys, and I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just sad. So what do you guys plan to do with your cycling life for the rest of the summer? I know I've asked, you know, I think, Paul, we brought up that you're doing the state TT, right? It just seems kind of like a letdown. Am I the only one that feels that?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
It's really crazy to see how... I mean, what we had two races, you know,
yeah, that's
we had a Fondo, and then we had two individual, a crit and a road race early, like May and June. And then for the rest of the summer, there was nothing. It's like, at first I was like, oh, this is so exciting. And then after a while you really realize, oh, it just ends here unless you want to travel the neighboring states. But that's, yeah, I guess just got to.
Is this it? I guess I haven't really done an honest racing campaign since I was a cat too. And it just seems like so anticlimactic.
But it has been for, you know, decades. I mean, really? I remember, you know, back in my day. We would do, I mean, the earliest, I mean, I would go down to Banana Belt.
Yeah.
That was the early ones, and that was in March. And then 1st of May, April was Volunteer Park. I mean, you were hitting every weekend. I was young. I could travel. I didn't have any obligations. And,
yeah.
And all the way into Columbus State Criterium, which was in October at Seward Park.
Yeah.
I mean, I would race... at least twice, three times a week. Mm. I mean, I hardly had to train. You're just racing all the time. But in the 90s, everything fell out because of everybody wanted a mountain bike to do that. And that's where it really was. Yeah. I mean, even in the bike industry, just switched kind of where gravel is now, you know. So everybody was up in the mountains and chilling out and having a party and racing and having fun.
Was that noticeable? So, I mean, I was mountain biking at those times.
Well, Washington Trust Classic fell off because of that. I mean, the participation went from, I mean, Volunteer Park, the first year that I did it as a Cat 4, there was two groups of 75 for Cat 4s. And juniors, I think you had to qualify. I can't remember. You guys would know because that was back when you guys were juniors.
I think we were able to just go race the junior race.
It was massive.
I didn't qualify.
Mm-hmm. But fields were big. Do you guys, and I did I mention the Midnight Century last show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm still on the book for it, unless some particular group of people that I know very personally come up with an epic ride on Saturday, then we'll see. I'm looking at you guys.
Are you wishing? Or hoping.
A little bit. I love everything about the Midnight Century except the fact that it's at midnight.
Mm-hmm. That is the toughest part.
Everything about it sounds fun. It's a bunch of people. It's good people. It's quirky people. It's people going at whatever pace they want. You know, some friends of the show are doing it. And I just it's getting up at 10:30 at night. which is I've been asleep for an hour and a half usually because I'm old. But it's just that. It's just I don't know if I want to. Anyway, so, you know, I'm on the board for that.
There is racing. You know, we've missed racing. We missed Tour de Bloom. Everybody missed it.
Drink.
Yeah.
I drank before I said that.
Okay.
No, whatever.
So there's half the amount of training races that on the east side of mm-hmm. Washington.
Yeah.
You guys used to have, you know, out at the raceway, Twilight Series.
Twilight Series, yeah. Yeah.
There was the Time Trial Series out at Cheney.
That was only for about a year.
Yeah.
Okay, but so Western Washington still has Seward Park every Thursday night. They still have Pacific Raceway on Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights. I can't remember. Still have Friday Night Track. They still, I mean, there's racing still alive on the west side of the state.
It's just here.
The problem mm-hmm. is, like, you know, the east doesn't have what it had. You could race all year in Spokane back in the day.
Yep.
Yeah.
We lost that. Everything still happening just about the same. There's cancellations for sure on the west side. We've seen it, you know, this year with Vance Creek and
yeah.
And every race 5311 put on, I think, got canceled. I don't even know if Tour of Enumclaw happened. But I mean, it's they're still racing, but you do have to travel. You have to be committed to traveling. The problem is the wonderful training races that went on all summer long.
Noticing. Yeah, that's what I'm noticing.
Kept you going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Jack's not wrong. I remember when I lived in Portland for the short time that I did, it was when I first really wanted to actually race again. It was genuinely every week. When I first looked, it was every Thursday. Then after that, it was every Tuesday. You know, it's crazy to see. But it's also really interesting to see, like, you asked before, what are the plans for the rest of the summer? It's like, for me, at least, this was the first summer that adulthood really kind of, you know, smacks you in the face. Yeah, I mean, everybody gets involved in stuff. I mean, I was heavily involved in a wedding last weekend. Now I will be planning a wedding.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's crazy to see how, like, racing's gone away. But then also, as a cyclist who isn't willing to, like, dedicate 24 hours of their entire week to racing and training, like, life does really get in the way of that type of stuff. And I mean, not in a bad way. It's just, it's really interesting to notice that change.
I don't want to get into the position where I'm always saying next year, mm-hmm. next year, next year.
Well, that's cycling though.
Mm. Really?
There's always next year. To the day I die, I'll always be doing next year.
Not, I think Pat's talking about missing races.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do it this year.
Yeah.
I'll do it next year. And it never happens, but goals, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is it acceptable? And I know this belittles what a lot of probably people do in their cycling lives who don't race. Is it acceptable to, in your personal opinions, I'm asking us individually, is it acceptable to have an existence on your bike where you ride with your friends and you work hard and you drop each other and you regroup or la 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 la? Is that enough to get you by personally?
I mean, over the past couple of years, it definitely has been. It's weird because I know Paul and I really talk about this a lot of the time, but that taste of competition, and I mean, not to sound like cocky or anything, but that taste of like victory, that taste of winning, you know, really does kind of wet the palate. You want to get back out and you always want to like throw your hat in the lottery of, am I going to win again? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a really nice attraction that I personally get out of it. But then again, whenever we go out for rides, I know that everybody, when we ride, we all do have some sort of sense of competition brewing in our stomachs a little bit. Sure. And so I get a joy out of that. The thing that's tough is, like I said, when things get in the way, then you aren't able to have that sense. Then after a while, you get that anxious feeling in your stomach, and it becomes like it becomes that thing where it's eating at you, and you almost need to ride every mm-hmm. single day to get that feeling back.
I've never not experienced the guilt of taking a day off.
Yeah,
weird. Even this far into my life, where I'm honestly. Nothing fucking matters. I mean, nobody's going to be like, holy shit, Pat didn't ride today. except me. I'm the only guy. But Paul talked to me about, you know, is just group riding and friends riding, which is a wonderful experience. I love riding with people, but is it enough for you personally?
No.
It isn't. No. Yeah. Yeah.
And for obvious reasons, I, you know, not that I did tons of racing before COVID. When COVID hit, it shut everything down. I've gained 11 pounds since that time. And the motivation to go out and train harder and that type of thing, yeah, it's lost. And, you know,
really
just personally, well, I need a target, and
yeah.
And so, you know, like tomorrow I've been working on my TT bike and on the position and everything, and I'm going to take it out and tink with it some more, but, hopefully I'll get my wife to motor pace.
Yeah.
Probably Thursday if it works out.
But you mentioned that you were thinking of revamping your 2023. Is that okay to say on the show? You and I spoke about this.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Is what does that entail, and what makes a perfect race season? Jack, I haven't forgot you, I promise, but this is a perfect segue moment.
Well, so I turned 60 in January, and then intentions, yeah.
I have to hit that one
right there. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. More sweat the better, boys. So my intentions are complete. I will. Doesn't matter if anybody or nobody or everybody goes with. I am going no matter what. And then I'll, you know, I've already been looking at tickets and stuff. The euro is matches par with the dollar, so everything's in our favor. Airlines are wanting, you know, to do whatever you can to.
Yeah,
to get people in. So, I mean, it looks pretty good. I mentioned to my wife, that's always a little hiccup when you have somebody else involved in your life and you want to,
sure,
you know, say, here's my plan.
Yeah, well, I'm going to spend all this money and go do this.
Yeah.
Are you cool?
Yeah. No. And she has no problems with me going to Belgium and that type of thing. And my goals there is, because I'll be 60, is try and hit segments on all the climbs, you know, the Muir and all. You know, the Paderberg and all those, and see how far I can go up the ladder as 60-year-old. So, you know, it'll be fun, but I want to train some more. And I told her my goal is to do Masters Nationals for sure. Wherever it is, that's where I'm going to go. I have a job that allows me to get plenty of vacation time, so that's not going to hurt financially that way. Yeah, right on.
Okay, there's one right there.
So, and then sometimes you just get these little... like gifts from God. That's not, I'm not talking about, you know, well, anyway,
you're not going full Christian on us.
No. Okay. It's just like, I'm sitting here thinking, how do I approach her? I mean, you have to approach and sell my wife. You have to sell her.
You
on
haven't,
the idea.
You haven't,
I had, at this point, I hadn't said anything.
You haven't
anything.
Worked out the PowerPoint.
This is about,
you haven't done anything
yesterday. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this is, I'm going to approach her on this, blah, 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 blah. That's going to take like a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
It's going to, you know, you got every, the whole setting and, you know, so anyway, her friend called up that she just went to England and Ireland, Scotland together, with just last, what was in May.
Yeah.
And she says, man, I got a deal for $600. We can go over there for like 8 days. And she goes, do you have a problem with that? No. And then I said, and that gives me a little more freedom. And I told her my plan.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Nice. So, and I revealed it. She's like, yeah, you get, because she felt guilty going to Europe twice in a year, and I haven't gone since in 2019. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to say this on the show, but, and Jackson knows that my wife is probably going to give me a cross-eyed look because I the Belgian trip I'm in, because we've talked about all kinds of stuff like that, and I won't be near the wedding, of course, but you know, stuff like
you're
that.
Fine.
but I'm like, okay, we got to do that. I mean, I've wanted this for my whole life, and this is something to be selfish on. So count at least one lead out rider on those
right
climbs. And then Masters Nats, I don't know where it's going to be. I mean, I'm sure somebody could chime in on the live stream maybe, but I don't know how many people are on there, but I know a guy with an RV. That'd be a hilarious trip. But that'd be so cool. Jack, talk to me about what your now that, you know, I'm sure the new bike brought a kind of a new breath of life into the whole thing, as it should. Where do you want to go with this? What do you want? What are aspirations? What do you envision yourself doing?
Well, yeah, the bike definitely brought new excitement. It's a pleasure. I mean, absolute pleasure to ride.
Yeah.
I would, number one is to like not stop. That's been, you know,
not stop in the middle of a ride.
Not stop riding. Like I have taken decades, a decade off and then back on.
Oh, yeah.
A decade off and back on. And, you know, I'm out riding and I see, you know, I see guys, gray haired guys that are riding along and I'm waving at everybody. And I'm just, I need to not stop.
Yeah.
This, you know, this ride. I really need to ride every day. Or I need to ride continually.
Yeah.
So that's number one. I mean, that's like I'm 52, going to be 53, and you know, I feel like I've got about 20 more years of cycling. So I got, you know. Anyway, but beyond that, doing some serious training. I mean, I've got lots of opportunity being we've changed our lifestyle and I'm, you know, I get up every morning and the first thing we do after coffee is we head out for a workout. And it's, for me, it's been riding every day. And I'm going to actually, I'm going to hook up with Nate Margaret. So we're going to for a ride this week. Yeah. Yeah. So he rides off and on. He's been really busy moving, but he's going to come meet up with me and we're going to go for a couple hour ride this week. But I've been kind of like taking it slow and, you know, just showing up every day versus go out, kill myself. And like, I don't want to ride tomorrow. I like literally want to get up and ride every day. So
really,
but beyond that, racing, I mean, I don't think that I'm getting too old to be competitive. I feel that way about running. So why wouldn't that be the same for cycling? I think some masters runners are some of the best, whether it's ultra or marathon runners in the US, why not? You know, I mean, it should be the same for me in cycling. My mentality should be there.
Yeah.
So that's it. When Paul started talking about goals for 2023, the first thing I thought of was Masters Nationals. So then he went to Europe and I'm like, I'm out. But for now, I mean, that's one of my wife's goals, is that we go to Europe for a month and hit the tour and ride that. Yeah. But this next year, it would be more lots of local racing and hit Masters Nationals next year. So good, bad, or ugly. I mean, I've got lots of time. Yeah. So my fitness is getting better. I mean, I'm...
Oh, dude.
Just even out, you know, stupid little hour rides I've been doing, you know, I mean, Strava is a pretty cool tool. I hadn't been using it. And now I'm like, oh, well, I guess this is why everybody uses it, because you can kind of see where you've been. I ride the same rides. I ride a lot, this one particular ride once a week. So you can see your gains and I'm getting fitter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I got small baby steps, goals, and I'm not like jumping in, you know, with 5 hour rides. But I think by next spring, by next spring, I should be going good.
Yeah. I'd ask you where you see next year, but I know that you have one very, very large thing that is going to be controlling everything right now.
Yeah,
and that is 1,000% fair.
Yeah, I mean, I am getting married next summer, so there's that. But also, I mean, I'm still gonna do, you know, I'll still do the chafe. I'll still do RC3. I'll still do anything. I mean, I'm planning on going to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Even next year. For those races, because by that point, I'll have been married for
14 days.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Hey, honey. See you later.
Yeah. honeymoon? Let's go to Vancouver.
We're like a fart in church. Yeah.
But yeah, I that'll take up a lot of my time, but I also, you know, sure. I'll still be able to ride here and there, you know, but yeah.
Oh, I want to do something. I got to do something. But we got to get to the news. We got to get to the biggest news stories of the entire month, in my personal opinion. Yes, we did talk last week about the men's Tour de France. This week, it is about the Tour de France Femme. Panda watch. I think I said it right. Femme. Tour de France Femme.
Femme.
Yeah. I'm all questioning my 2+ years of French that I took. And
40 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you took French?
I did. I took 2 years of Spanish and 2 years of French, and I speak this horrible mishmash of both languages. Fuck you.
That's such an interesting combination because those languages are not like that similar, but the fact
they're
that you
Latin.
Get them.
Yeah, Latin.
Well, yeah, so yeah. is everything.
Yeah. 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 Well, in high school, everybody told me I needed to take Spanish. My sister told me because it was easier, and my father told me because everybody in the world's going to be speaking it. You know, that's my father. My dad's a good guy, by the way. Don't let me think he's a terrible person. But and then halfway through, because I was like, fucking Bernard Hinault is my hero, and I want to go race bikes in Europe. I want to take French, and so I took French, and yeah. So there we go. That's a wonderful story. It wrapped up the Tour de France Femme. Wrapped up a month of Grand Tour riding throughout France. A month, you guys. We had. I was like, oh my god, Tour de France withdrawals. No shit. No, not even close. I've got 8 more stages. It was absolutely beautiful. What a race it turned out to be, in my personal opinion. I can't wait to hear what you guys think. That's not empty, is it?
No.
Okay. Talk to me, you guys, about your thoughts on the actions that took place in the women's edition this year. Even starting broad or going as far into specifics as you want, I just want to spend a little bit of time giving credit to this race. And I don't want to pander. I don't want to talk down. I don't want to make it sound like it's like, oh, we're including the women for once. No, it was... In my opinion, it was a fucking good bike race.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to jump in?
I mean, yeah, I thought it was a very active race. What I really like to see is every day to me was almost as if it was a classics day, mm-hmm. which I really appreciated. Yeah. And I think on Mariah wrote on Cycling Weekly how much of a different – she interviewed Tadej Pogačar. Like, yeah. That'd be a pretty cool interview.
Right?
yeah. But he said
she was on this show.
Yeah. I lived in the same place as her for a little while. But anyways, it was he was saying that it is very different tactically. And it's so interesting to especially go from the men's tour to see the women's tour and how differently it's played out. Mm-hmm. And I find it fascinating, especially just watching how different riders play it, because like I said, it felt like a classics day every day, where there was like a lead breakaway, but every time the lead breakaway near the end of the race was, it was those favorite riders, you mm-hmm. know. And I really enjoyed watching that, especially that last stage where it was just all of the big names that you could ever put on a piece of paper. They all were just there.
Yeah.
But also I think a rider that really struck me — stop me if I'm getting too far ahead here.
No, I want to go kind of open discussion on this one.
Yeah. Demi Vollering, I thought she was definitely much. Yeah. Yeah.
Paul's like, picked her. Did you pick her?
Yes, I did.
Oh, fuckity fuck. I'm screwed.
So, that means you picked the yellow, green, and polka dot. That's crazy. Anyways, that's really crazy.
Paul's beaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all won stages.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
No, I guess Valerin did win the stage. She got second.
She got second, yeah. Yeah. But seeing, I always felt like she was definitely more of a classics rider, mm-hmm. and then watching her come out and come out on top of like mm-hmm. the climbers, like points classification, was really an impressive feat that I didn't expect from her. I felt more of like a Utrip Ludwig, or definitely like a Nieuwe Jedoma. I felt like those two were more of that ilk, but watching a rider that you don't expect usually to win a specific classification to win that classification, I thought was really entertaining.
Yeah. Paul.
Yeah. I was glad. And I've made this comment before that ASO has had them not run parallel, the men and the women at the same time, I think that would water down mm-hmm. the women's race.
I agree.
And I think this is a good format. I think they hit it with Paris-Roubaix. I like watching the women's the day before. It's a good race, and then you're all really jacked the next day.
Yeah.
And same with continuing on our doldrums after the tour. We had 8 more days of racing and good racing.
Yeah.
And, I you know, some of the things that their tactics are different, and that's the thing that, you know, because I like to watch strategy and that type of thing. It'll be interesting when Van Vleuten's gone, you know, all the ones now Voss is, you know, all the big heads of state.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a big mix. I think there's going to be names that we haven't really been familiar with, or maybe occasionally with, that are going to be bam, bam, bam. Where it's going to be kind of like where the men are. Not saying that's what they should be, but I think where you're going, oh my God, where'd they come from?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, something that I was thinking about on the drive over here, funnily enough, is that once Van Vleuten is gone, I think that Demi Vollering is probably going to be the next, who's the DS now of SD Works?
Oh,
she won everything.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm forgetting.
Van, God dang.
We're all idiots because none
starts
of
with a B.
I would have.
Jack?
I know when to shut up.
Van der Breggen. Anna Van der Breggen.
Anna Van der Breggen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyways, I feel like she is going to be the next. Demi Vollering will take up that throne of a Anna Van der Breggen.
Uh-huh.
And I think under the coaching of Anna Van der Breggen, I think that she can almost kind of like take up that wins absolutely everything, especially from what I saw this last week. It seems like, and she's still young.
Mm-hmm.
Really young for how well that she's doing on all of this.
Jack, what did you take away? I know you've been busy, so I mean I don't even to put you on the spot. I mean, were you able to watch?
Yeah. So great racing, aggressive racing. I think we've seen this. You know, I mean, the women for years have been, especially during Voss and her reign of terror, has been. You know, very aggressive racing. Like I said, I think last week was you had mentioned, oh, there's going to be those guys, people that say, oh, well, they didn't climb, you know, this as fast as the guys.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. It's like, to me, I don't look at that even in the guys' race. You look at Alpe d'Huez this year. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Pidcock, I don't know. He's fastest up.
I didn't pay attention to this time.
Chris Froome. It was amazing. And so when you get aggressive racing, no matter what speed and watts and time and distance and all that, it's good racing to watch. So, you know, it ended. I mean, I guess it ended the way it was supposed to end, but. You know, everybody probably, you know, had their favorites to win. And I feel like at the end of the 8 days, they were showcased. It was a beautiful race. I expect it to go longer.
I
expect
did
it to go on
me.
And get bigger and better and all that. I'd love to give it. I don't know if we're going to give it a letter grade, but great racing.
Sure. Did Annemiek's performance shock anybody? I know comparing the women's and the men's is almost taboo right now, but I do want to compare the two, and not in a negative way, but let's be honest. If we saw somebody from the men's peloton do what Annemiek did in that seventh stage. Such a fucking dominating performance. We would have been just, our jaws would have been even more on the ground. But a lot of us were going, oh, that's Annemiek. She's just, that's what she fucking does.
Mm-hmm.
Did it shock you? And, you know, and I'm not insinuating any kind of nefarious, you know, things that she's doing or anything. I'm not doing that. I'm saying it was a fucking unbelievable performance, and it was amazing performance. Did it shock anybody else that she could come from a stomach virus a few days prior to this absolutely fucking crushing, dominating performance?
Well, I mean, I feel like she does what she does best. She did what she does best.
Yeah.
Is that she probably kept within herself during that stomach virus. And then once she got over it, she knew the stages that she could target and really take control. And as we saw, I mean, it on the two stages that really were the like cutting edge of this entire race.
This
itself,
was. Yeah. Those it came in all honesty yeah. down to those 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, and if she probably targeted those days as the days that she were to yeah. take. I mean, just like Vinigo and yeah. all of Jumbo Visma had decided that those 2 days were the days to take it away from Pogačar. I mean, she probably targeted those days and went, I'm going to do what I can do and what nobody else can do and get a gap of 2 minutes.
Ride the best riders off your wheel.
Yeah.
Just gone.
That's what's crazy is she doesn't explode. She can just ride them off their wheel.
She sets mm-hmm. that tempo that they just can't hold. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, it was fucking unbelievable. Was this a sheer unbeatable rider, or were there any mistakes made by other riders or teams? Paul, you got any kind of theory?
I think you know, even taking it back, I didn't realize she was sick until like that one stage where she lost some time going uphill. Yeah. I'm thinking, man, maybe she during the Giro she just emptied her tank or something of that nature.
Which would be explainable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, no, it's a stomach bug. And I'm like, oh, I've ridden with a stomach bug, and I can barely turn the cranks. Yeah. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. That's reaching deep. And so, you know, her style is like Jackson's talking about. I was surprised. I'm thinking she's not coming back. I mean, if she was fully healthy, this is how I would have thought she would have been right there and never lost any time. Like, she's done it at the Worlds. She's done it mm-hmm. at the Giro. Everything. She just like all of a sudden rides people off their wheel. I mean, she's that good. 39 years old. She's got it down. She trains harder than probably any cyclist, pro cyclist, men and women. Yeah. And that woman is diehard and diet and everything. She's on top of it. So I wasn't surprised, but I thought I wrote her off. I'm thinking there's no way. There's
yeah,
no
I did
way
too. Yeah.
that she's coming back. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wow. And then, oh, Jesus. I thought maybe on the last stage that she, you know, because she was with Valorin, I thought she's not going to, they're just going to ride together. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, really punched her ticket.
Just
so,
into it, yeah.
Yeah, Mariana won a stage in the yellow, so I'm going to win a stage in the yellow. Feel to it.
Yeah. She's retiring.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
going to be a crazy world without one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know that there has been I want to address this topic and I think we're all, I'm going to say this in complete irony, man enough to talk about this. There's been a lot of dipshit mansplaining on the internet about the amount of abundance of crashes in the first couple stages of the women's tour. And what I would like to ask is if this is something you noticed, if this was something you noticed that was out of the ordinary. I mean, we saw a fuck ton of men's crashes in the first men's week. Now, I would also like to ask if there were any ideas or reasonings as to why this topic became such a large issue in the cycling online community. For example, the importance of this event, the magnitude of this event, the early stages where there are more opportunities for more people to win a stage. We got a 3-week men's grand tour. A lot of riders are going, I'm going balls to the walls for this first week and a half to win a stage because I know once we hit the mountains, I'm fucked. The women didn't have that opportunity. They had 8 days to get this done. And so the urgency was there. Is the media making a mountain out of a molehill? You know, I just wondered if there was, why did this issue come up in regards to the women's Peloton. And Jack, I'm sorry, I'm going to probably throw you under the bus for this one first. I don't know if you have an answer.
Well, I mean, I saw the half pack crash of the women's race.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the whole pack, and then we were like, it's like, but I mean, key riders, Roglic being one of them, and year after year, and Richie Sport, dude. I mean, it's not, it's definitely not a gender thing. So, I mean, it happens in the guys' race. The, you know, the potential winners of the tour crash out every year of the tour. So in the men's race. So there's no like, oh, the women can't.
It seemed like there was this outpouring of bullshit on the internet, you know. And
people got nothing better to do but be an outpouring of bullshit in their life. I'm not surprised.
I mean, Jack, you said it great too. I mean, it's not a it's not a biological sex thing. It's just a it's just a racing thing. I mean, that happens in all racing. I mean, we see it all the time, you know. I think ever since 2020 hit, there has been just a shift in racing itself. Because like we mentioned, I mean, this could, like, who knows? We saw it in the men's tour that COVID was getting rid of a lot of riders just because these outbreaks couldn't be contained. And then I think that every rider right now,
every race was code red. Mm-hmm. It was like, I have to win. I have to win today.
It could be my last.
Or my contract.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that ever since that happened, I think every single rider, men and women, both looked at everything like, I don't care. Like, there is no more rule book. Let's tear it up and let's win whatever we possibly can. The only way we can. And it's not anything men or women. It's more of a, I want to win. And if there's a gap, I'm going to try and take it. That's what it really is anymore.
Yeah.
That type of talk being that the women crash more often, that's just bullshit, because mm-hmm. there is so many times, like a famous massive one was.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cancellara, Fabian Cancellara was in yellow, and they were doing like 50K plus an hour. And he just like spun off, and it's like 50 people went down. Yeah. It happens all the time. And I think, you know, what happened in the women's tour is that there is pressure to the excitement. First of all, it's a first. Everybody wants to be there, be in position. Everybody has a job. The roads are narrow. There's all this tension that's happening. If I put it to myself, early season races, you'll get that same thing. It's like people are sketchy. I mean, people normally aren't sketchy because it's the first race of the season or the first couple of races. You're taking chances, or you're, you know, you got to settle down, and that's what happens. There's so much adrenaline pumping through. This is anybody who wins is in a history book.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Exactly. So there is so much urgency to be at the right place at the right time, so mistakes are going to be made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'd be curious about looking at the numbers. I bet you the men probably crash more.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, they have.
It's been kind of funny watching the response on Twitter, especially with a lot of the male pro cyclists who are just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on the ground all the fucking time.
Well, you didn't even hear about it.
I forget what the race was, but why wasn't Alaphilippe able to ride the tour? Because there was a gigantic, massive Peloton pileup that took many big name riders out of the race.
Mm-hmm. Remember the one in Strada Bianca where he goes flipping and diving like an action star?
His bike was like 7 feet in the air.
Oh, my God. And he's diving out of the way to avoid the other riders. I just, you know, I want it to stand for the beauty that it was. I do think, and I'd like to ask you guys for this before we get to the points of who won what, about the fact that it was, you know, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth here, but I also want to comment on the fact that it was just 8 stages. It did finish on a mountaintop. I don't know if it was remote or not, but that was where it ended. The you know, arguably one of the newest, biggest things to happen to women's cycling. I think we can all agree it was a success, a giant success. But where could it? I don't want to ask where should it, because I don't want to sound like a, you know, somebody's like, that was great, but you fucking suck, you know, or something like that. Mm. I want to know where it can go. Is 8 stages enough? Is the parkour enough? You know, where can we go? Where can we build upon this? Is a 3-week women's grand tour that far out of reach? All those questions I'm throwing out there, and I'm gonna let Jack answer first because he can't make eye contact with us here.
Don't look at me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've said it before. I think we're due for It could have happened this year, but they could have gone longer. But I believe they'll go longer, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. But the success, I mean, you build interest, you build, whether it's non-cyclists and cyclists watching and being fans or future women cycling, the 15-year-old girl that's like, after the tour is like, got to be a bike racer when I grow up. That is all coming. So it's not an overnight success. This is a win that pushes women's cycling further and further up the ladder independently of the men. I mean, you know, Anna Maria, when she was on podcast, you know, they grew up, the bike racing was on Saturday and Sunday. You watch bike racing or you watch soccer, depending upon the season, but mostly bike racing. And the tour for the women being as good as it was will increase the population of women's cycling and women's racers. And I think that's what you got to look forward to. With the numbers, the days will increase. So
yeah.
I mean, you got to have depth. You have amazing athletes. I mean, you know, from top to bottom. I'm not going to say, you know, the Lantern Rouge isn't an amazing athlete because she could probably ride me off her wheel.
Yeah, but, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing I should have mentioned earlier is just like for all these fucks online who are bashing women, it's like,
yeah, dude, for a ride.
Yeah, I've ridden with women who are not at the level of a tour rider, who are, you know, regional
hacks.
No, I've read with women who are regional and American, North American type of top class riders. There's no fucking way I can hold their wheel. I mean, these are their tactical mind, their bike handling skills and everything like that. Fuck you. There is no argument here, you know, but anyway, sorry, Jack, I catch up.
The depth will come with one great media promotion. So GCN, you know, being, so things have gotten broader and it's going to help the cause.
Yeah.
And with a little bit of patience, the depth and broadness will happen. Therefore, the lengths will happen. And of course, I hope the prizes will happen.
I mean,
just like women's soccer. I mean, it's all got to equal out, you know, because there's more women on earth than men. So
I also think we run into this situation where we have to remember that this isn't like soccer. This isn't a league. This isn't a gigantic, huge organization. I don't feel it. This is an individual event, and it is a product. And the product has to find a way to market and sell itself in order for a global audience. You know, women's cycling's always dealt with these issues of television coverage, of press coverage, of media. And this is this, you know, from start to finish, this was covered as a race should be covered. And I keep looking at Jackson's graphic. I'm looking at the monitor over you guys' head about how well it was put together. And I think if this shit keeps going, it's gonna explode. By the way, I'm re-upping my subscriptions to Zwift simply because of this race. I swear, no, I'm gonna. You know what? I will ride Zwift this winter simply because of what they put together here. It's a great platform. I was trying to find something to penny pinch and save here, but if they're going to put money into bike racing like this, I'm in.
Yeah, I think that it was a really, I think it was a really great event, and it was almost to a point we were talking about media wise where I didn't have to watch a single second of it to know what happened. I'm still scrolling through Instagram knowing who won, knowing each result of every single stage. We've gotten to that point where I think that the media coverage is definitely there, and I think that it can only go up. Like we were talking about Spokane Racing. I mean, I think that this is a wonderful start, but where can it go? And I think that, Jack, you mentioned a 2-week thing. Hell, it could go. I think next it should go 2 week.
It should.
Yeah. And then after that, hell, 3 week. I think 3 week is more than achievable when it comes to this, especially with the dollars that Zwift can provide.
Yeah.
I think that everybody was really like excited for more bike racing, especially because we all do feel that tour hangover that we all talk about, and it's great to bounce right off of that. I will say I think that the women deserve a Champs-Élysées.
I agree. I think the last stage should be there. It shouldn't be the first stage. But it was a great tie-in, and it was a great way to for all of us to go, oh, okay, there's more.
That is true. I don't know how unless you could bring it back around.
That's
to
tough.
A Saturday.
Yeah.
You realize the Champs-Élysées closing down that in Paris is probably a
it's an act of God.
So to utilize it as the first stage or the last stage. So
yeah,
it's a wonderful way to start the race. Amazing way to start the race. Maybe there's something better. I mean, we're all stuck on Champs-Élysées because we've got.
We've been programmed.
Plus years of, of tour in our brain. But it doesn't have to be, it can be different and still be great.
Yeah.
So you could finish on the Mediterranean in Monte Carlo. You could, you know, there's
Monaco.
Things that are amazing that
Nice.
Could be as good or better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess when I say Champs-Élysées, I think they deserve a ceremonial ending.
Finale. Finale. Yeah.
A mountaintop finish in remote, you know, Pyrenees or Alps isn't, it's not quite.
It's not the same.
As celebratory as the Champs-Élysées. So you kind of need to bring it back down and have not the pinnacle, you know, ass kicking race that it was. We need to kind of still. I think what we're missing is that celebratory, ride into Paris. But whatever it is, that ride, you know, that everybody deserves in the Tour de France.
And those transition stages are sometimes very vital for a team. You know, I don't know what Movistar's women's team could have been like having to defend on some rolling different types of stages, you know, in between and things like that.
About, yeah.
You know, where does that come into effect? Movistar did a brilliant job on that last stage.
They did.
Controlling, you know, and putting riders into the front group and things like that. I thought it was a really good way to do it.
Well, my thought on all that, I think eight stages is a good start.
It's a start. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah. I understand kind of having a procession on the last stage. Hopefully they will take that in, you know, consideration.
There are discussions about the fact that the Champs-Élysées is a bullshit stage.
It is. I mean, to be honest with you, that's if I'm going to miss a stage, that is the stage I've missed on the Tour de France.
Yeah.
It's because it's usually a lock anyway,
It's a Sprinter's World Championships. Yeah.
And that's what I did this year, and that's what I've done. I can't remember the last time. Probably 1987 was the first time, or the only last time I watched the full stage or whatever stage it was given to us, you know. For the on the jump,
that was
so.
Kind of a big one.
Yeah, it was.
We watched
Jeff Pierce won that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it comes to length of the races, so the UCI rule says women can't race beyond 160 kilometers. So that's going to have to change. That's when you're laying out a stage race. You can't have like you want to hit the hills and maybe a flat. So you have these transition stages, you know, but. You have to get there. So
you have to throw them all in cars and get
instead
them
of,
all there.
It will be 160 kilometers is 100 miles as opposed to the men's longest, I think it's, what, 280 or something. And that's why in Milan-San Remo, they're neutral until they hit that point. Then the race is on because it's a 300 kilometers where they start.
It's such a long race.
So, yeah. So, you know, there's all these things and rules that have to be addressed before we kind of push too much.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that...
The training preparation for that is different for the average woman athlete.
Yeah.
They've got to understand, you know, they're training for 100 miles maximum. Mm-hmm. They're not training for these longer.
Exactly. You know. And in my personal opinion, the best stages that have been in the tour are the shorter ones.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
And so what would happen, I mean, that might alter, realistically could alter because everybody, it's a hot day. Pretty soon we're going to have these long, boring rides that we hate. In the Giro, we talk about that there's these 260-kilometer transition stages, like, and here comes a sprint.
Yeah.
So, you know, 6 hours of TV time, and those poor bastards announcing and have to come up with, so I bought a new roll of toilet paper today. Exactly. It's a two-ply, but, you know.
Do you like the bamboo?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it turns into that bullshit.
We don't want that.
All right, everybody, get out your scorecards. For those of you at home playing along, get your scorecards out. Remember, it is 5 for first place on a stage, 3 points for second place on a stage, 1 for third, right?
I thought it was 2.
5-2-1? Okay.
Or no,
five,
is it
5? Yeah, 5-2-1.
Okay.
5-2-1. Okay. I wrote these rules down, and I didn't keep them. And then the final jerseys are 50-30-30-30-30-30, right?
Yeah, if you win yellow, right?
Yeah, yellow is 50, and then the other ones are all 30. Stage one, and if I destroy the names, I apologize. I haven't had practice with some of them. Lorena Wiebes, Mariana Voss, Lotta Kopecky. And I need to make sure. Okay. And stage two, Mariana Voss, Silvia Persico, and Katy.
Cassie Niewiedema.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Jack in the background. Cassie. Okay, because it's Katarzyna, you know, on paper here.
It's a Polish name.
Stage three. By the way, Cassie, I think, deserves the most aggressive rider of the tour because she was always up there. She was always fucking fighting. Cecile Ludwig, Mariana Voss. I got to write that down. How many points is that? I'm thinking in my head, but I'm saying it out loud. And Ashley Moolman. Stage four, Marlon Reusser, Evita Music, Elena Amialusic. I'm sure I destroyed that one. I'm sorry, Elena. Stage five, Lorena Wiebes, who was sprinting fucking unbelievable on that stage. Elisa Balsamo and Mariana Voss. Oh, wait, that's stage five. I put that on stage four. Stage six, Mariana Voss. Marta Bastianini and Lotta Kopecky. Did I pick one of them? I did. I'm playing along. I'm doing usually I do my points earlier, but this is kind of fun. Stage six. Okay. Stage seven. Ush. Well, it's almost the same thing for the next two stages. Annemiek van Vleuten, Demi Vollering, Cecile Ludwig. Stage eight. Annemiek van Vleuten, Demi Vollering, Silvia Persico,
Say that again. I was adding.
Stage 8, mm-hmm. Annemiek, Demi, Sylvia Persico. And final totals, obviously, Annemiek van Vleuten in yellow, Mariana Voss in green. So I'm going to add 30 there. Demi Vollering in polka dot. And Shirin van Antroij in white. So
is it 30 for the jersey?
It is a 50 for the yellow, 30 and 30. 30 for the other jerseys.
Okay.
Okay, so
I didn't lose.
Oh, I might have. Okay, I'll go last because I think I might have lost. I might have lost this one.
Wow.
Jackson Bulger, what'd you come up with total points?
I came up with 112 points.
Fuckity fuck fuck. Fuck! I am so screwed! If that's the first points, Jack Broadhead, what'd you come up with?
107.
Yes!
What?
Second place. I'll take second place.
Did I do this wrong?
Were you watching the right race?
Did I? Honestly, Paul, what'd you get?
191.
Whoa. Whoa.
How did I end up with 55 points?
You got more points than I did in a 3-week tour and then in 8 days. That's crazy.
What did I do wrong with my
you
math?
You picked the wrong people.
I only came up with 55 points. I
well,
had
you got
Mariana Voss.
Okay.
5, 10.
There's
so that's
30
two
points
stages
there.
Win.
Yeah.
Two stages. Oh, I did. Oh.
Their jersey.
Did I add a jersey?
Which is 30.
No. Yeah, I did add a jersey because there's.
You didn't pick Van Vleuten?
No, I didn't.
You did.
Am I the only one that didn't pick Van Vleuten? Am I the only one that didn't pick Van Vleuten?
Yeah, that'll
killer.
Do it right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You might have
fucking
equal points. Me.
Second, I had 55 points. I lost.
Every single girl that I picked, lady, gave me points.
No shit.
Every single one.
Paul, you crushed it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Mine might have been the same.
What did you have, Jackson? What was your point for the men? 2 points totals for the men tour. I mean, there was no way it was 190 some points.
Let me look on my phone real quick.
Jesus!
I got three jerseys. I got the yellow, green, and polka dot.
Yeah, I had 105.
I had 31 points in placings.
I scored higher in this one than I did in the 3-week tour. I got 105.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I'm an
That's
idiot.
Crazy.
Okay, well, Jack, are you happy with how you didn't lose? But you lost the men's
lose.
Tour.
So you and I are riding up Mount Spokane together.
We're doing something.
The beer mile.
Are we going
to? Between the two of you, now we have a
we
race.
Did it.
I'm not doing it on a trainer. Fuck
yes,
that.
It has to be on a trainer, dude.
Oh, you're both the runners. That. Do a run one.
Oh, my God.
That's
I'm not
stupid.
A runner.
Both
fuck
are runners.
I'm not a runner?
Yay, Pat, I hear you're a runner now.
I am not, and whoever told you is a liar.
Did but you not run last weekend?
Yep. I did run last weekend.
Okay, there you
well,
go.
Well, I kind of plotted.
That doesn't make you a runner.
Weekend. Yeah, it doesn't make you a runner. Jack, no, I think the outdoor stationary roller beer mile.
Oh, you would
no.
also die doing that.
But you'd just fall down. You wouldn't, like, speed into a oncoming car.
Okay, just because I did it doesn't mean
Let's
we can make fun of it.
I
know!
I didn't mean that!
I know, I bring it up whenever I can to make anybody feel bad about it.
It's like me with you scratching your bike.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do Manitou like, Crit Course on mountain bikes.
Why?
For 20 minutes.
Do you know... That,
what?
That is the
You'd
most
hit
random,
so many people.
You would! You'd kill hundreds of people.
It's not fucking...
Oh, you guys, but before I get to the final topic, I had a Karen moment. I had a Karen moment on my ride yesterday.
That you did?
No. Yeah. Oh. I left the house and I was riding. I lived near a park and I was riding near through this area and there was a woman ahead of me. She was walking in the same direction as I was and the sprinklers were running in the park. So she was going wide around the sprinkler areas. And there was a car also coming the opposite direction toward us, both of us. So I went around her, but obviously not wide enough to be killed by the oncoming car. And so then a little bit later, one of my computer mount. My computer mount was wobbling a little bit. So I stopped, got my Allen key, and I was tightening it. And this woman caught up to me, elderly woman, and she said, "You do know that you came really close to me back there, and that really bothered me."
She's the Karen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And she said that to me, and I went, and I looked at her immediately and just out of nowhere, and I said, "Well, actually, in all honesty, you were in the middle of the road because you were avoiding the sprinklers. There was a car coming in that direction, and I just didn't want to die." And she said, "Well, it's complicated." And I said, No, it's not complicated. You should be walking facing traffic. I should be able to ride near you. And I only passed you. I passed you with well more than 3 feet, which is the standard limit." And she looked at me and she kind of shook her head. And I said, "Well, thanks for telling." I wanted to say thanks for fucking telling me, but I said, "Well, thanks for telling me." And I rolled my eyes intentionally so far that it looked like they would pop out of my head. And I rode away.
That's a perfect response, though, because you didn't yell at her.
I was pissed. Oh, I was pissed. I wanted to yell at her for 3 days, but I knew that would just make it worse.
Yeah. She was in the wrong because she's walking on the with traffic.
With traffic in the middle of the road because she didn't want to get hit by a sprinkler. If you're walking against traffic, you can see cars or bikes coming, and you can decide, maybe I'll wait out this fucking sprinkler.
Yeah.
And she's just, "Well, it's complicated." I'm like, no, it's not complicated.
It's called rules.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I have approval from my friends.
That's probably the best way you could have handled it.
Yeah. You guys want to play a game to go out with? By the way, what'd you guys think of San Sebastian? Does Remco Evenepoel have anything to offer other than 1 week stage races and attacking events where he finishes alone?
That's the only way he's going to win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
unless he switches his mindset to a 3 week grand tour, which there are definitely now more than one.
I don't think he's a 3 week grand tour rider.
No.
I think he's a 1 week grand tour rider and a classics rider. But I think he's got to get over his youthful exuberance of the fact that he needs to finish alone.
You know, that's funny that Jack just mentioned that. I was going to say he could learn a thing or two from Alaphilippe.
Yeah.
Being flamboyant, but not annoying.
You guys think he's annoying?
Well, I think sometimes he has. I don't think he's annoying, but I think sometimes he has his tendencies of putting his foot in his mouth.
Youthful
on the media.
Okay. Exuberance.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Over exuberance.
Okay. Well, I think his problem is that the only way he's going to win, well, in my opinion, is these long breakaways like this. He is. Remember, it's only been racing since he was 16, and that was only been, 5 years now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have bike handling skill. You're going against guys who have been doing this since they were 13, and they're pushing 30.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's his way of being able to win is get away from the pack. I don't know if he's comfortable in the pack. I think he seems to be out of position a lot. And he has to, like, if you watch him in the Giro, he has to scramble to get back up.
Yeah.
Because he's always out of position. Yeah. And he's, so, anyway.
He definitely needs to pick his path of expertise. Because, I mean, in this world right now, I mean, there's guys that are down. Alaphilippe would be one of them. Some guys that are retiring. Sagan, that
Take
crowd.
It easy.
Yeah. Whoa.
And then there's the new guard that's got the 3 week there's a 3 week stranglehold for the next 5 years, 6 years. If Evenepoel's going to get big money, he's got to pick his path. He's got to pick Evenepoel. A specialty. He's got to pick his wins and be happy to get them, because it's not, I mean, I kind of see him as like, he feels like he's deserves something, he's entitled to something, and there are three Belgians ahead of him. There are two quick steps ahead of him. Just pick your,
that doesn't exist
your
anymore,
specialty though. and put your time in. He needs seasoning more than anybody I can think of in the peloton.
Is Patrick Lefebvre the guy to give that to him?
Well, but he and it's one thing to like go crown prince, okay, you know,
yeah,
you're gonna be the guy, But he's not the guy for about like 10 guys to retire.
Yeah.
I will never
change seasoning.
I don't ever want to people to think that I'm championing Lefebvre, but God dang, I looking at the tour, he made the right choice.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Look at what he did to Bennett mm-hmm. when he left. That guy has not been anywhere. He doesn't even think he's going to make it. Yeah. He knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody.
He can't do it as long as he's been doing it without having
he was with
Mape
all the way through. He's done nothing but produce winners. Yeah. And
his
he knows
social graces are a little fucked.
Exactly.
But yeah.
But, the guy's not an idiot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, speaking of teams, let's play our I just want to.
Who pays the bills?
No. And we're going to play. We're going to play transfer. We're going to play with transfer rumors. Mm. And we're going to play good, bad, or meh. Mm. Good, bad, or meh. So I want to ask you guys. I've got a few of the riders who are either confirmed or of transferring or rumored to transfer, and I just like your that was good. No, that's bad. Or I don't think it's a waste of money. Okay. First off, Alexander Kristoff has been not just rumored; he is confirmed mm-hmm. to be going to Uno X next year, leaving Intermarché Wanty-Gobert, which has had probably one of the biggest. I don't want to say new seasons because that team's been around forever, but season at the top level of the World Tour. Alexander Kristoff did have a great season. He won what the fuck.
He won one of like the semi-classics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel horrible not remembering it. But his move to Uno X, good, bad, or meh, Jackson?
I think good for him.
Yeah.
Getting a little
I think it's a 3-year deal, too.
Yeah. I think he's getting a little bit, longer in the tooth. He's Norwegian, so is that team. Kind of, it fits.
Yeah. Paul?
Yeah, and he saw the writing on the wall with Gamay.
Yeah.
Being on this team, he's not going to be the person. Yeah. So
that's a great good point. Move. Jackson, Jack.
Next question.
I think it's a good call. I think it's a good call. Next off, EF Education in Easy Post. Now we've got rumors that Andre Amador, Richard Carapaz. There are still rumors with Mark Cavendish.
Whoa.
All potentially going to EF Easy Post Education Easy Post.
Did they get some money?
I don't know. I don't know.
And are they going to ride Specialized?
No. They've
no.
Got, I don't
so
think so
that
can.
Was my question.
Oh, Cavs separated with, associated with it. So that
team,
rumor might be bullshit.
Like,
go ahead.
They're not going to leave Cannondale.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. Debunking.
Creatively, they will never leave Cannondale. Well, you think Specialized is going to put a dragon on their bikes?
That's a point. That's
was
a
that
great
a dragon?
Point.
I thought it was like a snot bubble or something. I don't know. I would say, Cav likes and he's been vocal about Specialized, but when he left, I mean, he raced on Pinarello's, he raced on BMCs, he raced on Cervelo's. The one that he likes is Specialized, which he came from HTC way back in the mm-hmm. day, and that's his connection. He has no connection unlike
his Bahrain
Peter
McLaren.
S-
was he
Peter
on
Sagan. What's
he
that?
Was, yeah.
His Bahrain McLaren years. He was on Merida, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, he's had different bikes. So the Specialized is not chasing him. His Sagan has that pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's their personality there.
The one I do see going along with this is the Richard Carapaz one. I do see that happening. This is kind of oddly enough the home for Colombians that we're kind of seeming. Mm-hmm. So I do kind of see that going along, and I feel like they could support a rider like him. If they can support a rider like Rigo, they can support a rider like Carapaz.
Yeah, Aran is obviously is past his mm-hmm. sale by date.
Yeah, they are. So are these good?
I think
buys,
so.
Or are they
so. Cavendish? I would say no.
Cav won't happen. I don't think, especially because.
I think Cav's going to B&B hotels.
Yeah.
He needs a lead out train. He's a lead out train person.
Uh-huh. Cause I was also going to say with him does come Oakley though.
Yeah.
And if they bring Oakley, then Pac goes and Pac cannot go from.
No, that's a
that
great
is like
partnership.
The one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack, you got any theories on this or next question?
Well, I agree with the Cav thing. He's not an EF guy. I'd be shocked. I'd be happy.
Be
I really
cool.
would.
It'd be
I,
cool. It would be, kinda, it would be cool.
Could end up on Vauder's team.
I don't see those
There's
personalities.
There's no connection with HTC in Vodders, though, right?
Yeah.
No, he was a postal guy at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, I just, it would be weirdly cool, but I really see him bringing a package to some team that's on the build more than EF. I think that B&B is mm-hmm. where he'll go, where he'll end up.
How about and I'm gonna throw this Jackson's way first, is the fact that Lachlan Morton and Alex House are both leaving the World Tour. They're not gonna race at that level mm-hmm. anymore. Talk to me about, they're obviously gonna focus on gravel and an alternative style of racing. The importance of those two as a marketing brand.
Yeah, well, I mean, Alex House hasn't ridden, has been away from the World Tour for the past year as well.
Yeah.
So he's already, I mean, accustomed to it. And when was the last time we saw Lachlan really, like, toe the starting line
but
of a
what
a
they
World
offer,
Tour,
though.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The, what you get from Alex House is, first of all, he's been getting very involved in that EF coaching
yeah.
program that they've launched. Yeah. But also, he is definitely a brand for... like we talked about earlier in the year, that Lifetime Grand Prix thing. He is a big, strong name in that. I mean, he won Steamboat this last year. And so they are very relatable people. Both of them are relatable people that can do extraordinary things.
Yeah.
And I think that is where their market, what that market that they can really kill in, is because we all feel like they can relate to the average Joe, but the fact that an average Joe is doing unaverage Joe things is really
wow.
fun yeah. to watch.
The YouTube draw from those two riders alone, I think, is worth the weight in gold in sponsorship yeah. money.
And they're no drama either. Yeah. They're not a US crit scene type of racer. Yeah. They are a genuine yeah, exactly. They're yeah. a genuinely like endearing people to watch, both yeah. of them are.
How about the trial and tribulation of the one and only Stefan Kung from Groupama FDJ? Rumors are that he is either going to Bora Hansgrohe or Trek Segafredo. What team would greater benefit, not only Stefan Kung, but what team would be more beneficial, you know, for what team would receive better off in a pay, Paul?
Bora.
You think Bora
yeah,
would be a better yeah. off of them?
Yeah. A Trek is, I don't know, it's floundering. I don't
like it.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not impressed with any. You know, you have Mads Pettersson. Name somebody else.
Quinn Simmons. Malema?
Quinn Simmons.
Yeah.
Quinn Simmons.
Malema, though, he, other than he'll probably do well.
I almost named
this
a couple
fall.
Of the women.
Yeah.
Jasper Stuyven.
Yeah. Jasper Stuyven. But, yeah. you know, even
what are they
a couple with? Of years ago, they were like, right there, Mads World Championship. Yeah. Stuyven won, Milan-San Remo. He's won Hitfolk, and I believe Hitfolk. Yeah. So you know, he was a good classic rider, and he's been up there. But mm-hmm. of late, that team hasn't done much.
Anybody have something on Eddie Dunbar going to from Ineos to Bike Exchange? Any thoughts on that one?
I mean.
Yeah,
that feels kind of predictable. He's a great domestique, but
yeah.
he's not going to win
nothing.
Anything.
Yeah.
Rui Costa from UAE going to Intermarché Wanty-Gobert. Yeah. Is that strengthening Intermarché?
Yeah,
I think because he's been around for so long, he's got
around.
Some wealth.
That's what. That's mm-hmm. the only thing. That
and he's a world
me.
Champion. He's yeah. you know, he won the worlds.
Is it? I don't even know. Do the points are the there used to be this World Cup. Points
they're already above
carry over with you that was this yeah gigantic
but with
thing.
This relegation
yeah
thing, that's you know I'm sure that's going to help their points but they're going to yeah. already be available all these races yeah. anyway mm-hmm. so because they're a world tour
to me that also shows
Give
their
street,
yeah
mm-hmm. yeah
to me that
yeah.
also shows their intention of rather being a sprint team to being more of a classics yeah. team yeah. with yeah. Biniam Girmay
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. about the relegation concepts dealing with teams. We know that Lotto Soudal is soon to lose Soudal. Yeah. What's going to happen to that team?
They're already in relegation right now. They're on the bubble.
So is it going to completely fold?
What do you guys think? I don't think so. Happen. But they may have a year down, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Continental. You look, there's something, they lost gosh, Marc Sajan and Frijon, their two directors, left last year, and they've done nothing, in my opinion. So the directors, that for whatever reason they left, they got new personnel coming in. And
does Caleb Ewan stay?
That's what I was going to say. I think he will. I think he'd have to go.
Yeah, no, they've got a young Belgian kid that's going to shake the world. He's 20 years old.
Lotto
and that
does?
Kid. Oh, yeah. He's been winning these. He it's slamming it. He makes everybody look stupid in the sprints. I can't remember his name right off the bat.
Wow.
It's not a traditional like name that comes to the tip of my tongue. Yeah. But
could you imagine, now that we're talking about transfer rumors, could you imagine Michael Morikawa leading out Caleb Ewan? No way anybody wins a sprint.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That'd be a crazy – I don't think that would – I don't know if – I mean, that's not going to happen this year, but that'd be a pretty good spot for him to
Marco
go.
Marco Mokau and Gamai. You can say Marco
Mokau. Michael Morikawa.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you
so
got
tell
it.
Me what you guys have left to look forward to. I asked you guys at the onset of the show, what do you guys have left to look forward to in the remainder of – and when I say – cycling season, I mean it. I know we tend to lean, obviously, in our fandom towards road because road is the most available to watch online. It's covered the best. There's that formula to figure it out. And I'm not saying you can't pick a gravel, a track, or a mountain bike event. But what are you looking forward to now that you know, we have to admit we are on the denouement slide. We are on the pinnacle of the sport has happened. What are you looking forward to now remaining within this? Jack, you are going to – you are ready to invest emotionally in another three-week tour.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple riders, and Roglic is the first one that comes to mind, but there's a couple riders that got, you know, cheated out of the tour or in
sorry, that was just my Roglic.
I know, he's like the new Richie Porte.
Yeah. With more victories.
There's a couple riders in other disciplines that just need to show up to the line at the Vuelta and make it as good a race as the tour. I mean, it won't happen as good a race. But I do believe that there are some guys that are going to show up there and entertain us.
Any differing opinions more towards Lombardy or Worlds?
And Worlds. Or, all three of those.
Yeah. When is Worlds again?
It is in September, usually right after, shortly after Vuelta.
Yeah.
Some people tail out of the Vuelta so they can.
So
yeah.
you guys are fully invested. No,
we're all
still in.
I think I heard a rumor that Tadej Pogačar could be riding the Vuelta as well. And so if he does, I would definitely tune in to
I've
see
heard
how
both
that goes.
Sides of that rumor, but yeah. We can obviously still leave it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also think
Tadej had a bad day at San Sebastian. You could tell a lot of those two riders were cooked. Mm-hmm. They were tired. Yeah.
But I will say, depending on the parkour of the Worlds, we could see a Tadej in the rainbow bands.
No, fuck you. Michael Matthews is winning it.
That's in Australia.
Michael Matthews is winning the Worlds. Matthews is winning
the
Worlds.
Well, it's in his home country.
That'd
He's
be crazy.
Winning
but
the Worlds.
It's a classic style, like a Liège-Bastogne-Liège.
Yeah.
Like steep climbs back, up, down, but short
so
punchy.
We could see a Tadej in rainbow.
And
he
did
win.
Saying? Michael Matthews is
going to win
the
Worlds. I know, but who won LBL this year?
Yeah.
Tadej.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Fine. I'm going to make my picks, and I'll probably ruin their careers. By the way, I'd like to personally apologize to Lisa Longaborghini. Because I did.
Yeah.
I just have that tendency to
ruin
people's
careers.
She even
took the wrong
career.
Didn't she turn?
She took a left for everybody else went right. And I was just like going, I'm sorry, Lisa. This is my fault. Oh, that was a bad moment. I did not like that moment. But I should realize that her climbing prowess isn't exactly what those final two stages were. I think she could do it if they had more stages. But anyway, there we go. You guys, we are at our 90 minutes. So I would like to say personally, thanks to everybody for tuning in. Keep riding. We are constantly rated and doing pretty well.
Good.
God damn it, in iTunes, and I appreciate you guys for that. Keep writing, everybody. Like, subscribe, tell a friend. Jack, now what? It's time to go paint. You got to go paint the house, right?
Yeah, I've got a long night ahead of me.
I'm sorry, man. You riding in the morning?
No, this has been a pleasure. Thank you.
You riding in the morning?
Of course.
There you go.
I go a little longer. I went a little quicker today. Big Ring Tuesday.
There we go.
All right.
Hey, it's you know what? I've got to say the hardest thing about 12 speed, we were talking about kind of the straight block scenario.
Yeah.
You know, there's very little difference. Sometimes I don't know if I'm in my big ring or my small ring. It's
which size
so
front?
Crazy.
What are you running in the front? That's the compact, isn't it?
I think it's that 48.
Yeah, you gotta get rid of that shit. That's stupid.
I know.
48 for his big ring?
Yeah, that's standard through.
What the fuck?
That's standard.
It's a 53.
That's standard.
But I got like a 10.
You're running a 53?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be running.
You have a 53 on
that. 53 standard.
53.
Yeah, it's what it came with. But I'm telling you.
But he runs a 10 in the back.
It's weird because, like, I can go almost up to my lowest gear on my big ring, and I'm like, am I in my small ring? And I got to look down.
Wow. You should know. You know you're in a big enough gear when you can hear your knees creaking.
I'm not creaking that old yet.
You can hear the tendonitis just going, fuck.
So you right. have big ring Tuesdays? Is that you? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big, my new thing. Every Tuesday,
my big
everything
rings.
I do, the climbs, the everything I do, I'm trying to stay at about 90 RPMs at
90. You're spun out, boy.
Got to do at least 10.
I do big ring. I do big rings on all days that end in Y. That's true. Yeah,
he does.
That's every day, dude.
Yeah,
and you can hear his knees. You can hear his knees.
Yep.
So right. Yeah, exactly. 60-year-old knees.
So hopefully a long ride tomorrow. A ride with Nate. We'll see.
We gotta have someday. I gotta figure out a way to get like 12 people organized, like herd cats, and just get all the people from the old days and just bore an entire audience.
That would be amazing.
But make it a lot of fun for us. By the way, I do want to say to the listening audience that if you've been with us for a while, I saw the one and only Mark Hodgson this last weekend. He was competing in a local triathlon, and Mark's had some pretty serious health issues recently.
Ticker.
Yeah. And it was great to see Mark out. Mark was competing like I said, if you followed the show, you heard Mark's voice for a long time. So Mark, I doubt you're listening, but great to see you, buddy. We got to get those guys on the show, including the person I can't name because none of us have an ounce in our glasses.
Roger?
Yeah.
Didn't say the last name.
Sorry,
doesn't count.
Man, I just went and got a beer.
Yeah, there you
go. Here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was a good sound.
Thank
that
you.
Was a good sound.
Drink your spit.
Almost sounded like a
that's what I did.
Like a bong hit. Not that I know. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you next week. We're getting close to a Welta preview show. We got to do that here pretty soon. So we can pick another one, and somebody else is going to lose that one. Not me. God damn it. I don't like this.
Not me.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.